let's get started. Okay. Well, we are still in Revelation 1:15. I don't even know if we said anything about 1:15, so we're going to start there. So, okay, so Jim, you want to pray?
Sure, good.
Praise you, Lord.
Yes, thank you,
Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord. Father and John, you said, did not I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? And the first part of that verse you quoted, it said, did I not tell you? He didn't say, doesn't the King James tell you that if you believe, you'll see the... He said, did I not tell you?
Amen.
It was the voice of the Lord that if you hear it and you respond, you believe, he said, you'll see the glory of God. Paul said that in times past, God spoke to us through the prophets, but now he speaks to us through the Son.
Amen.
And then he goes on to say in another book that when God apprehended me to reveal his Son in me.
Yes.
So we know that the Son is now in us. It's no more rules on rocks.
Yes.
Brother Ben Howell says it's no more letters on pages. It's the Son that's revealed in us.
Yes.
The voice of the Lord.
Thank you.
In us.
Oh,
and Father, that's what you're doing. You're raising up a people today that love you and they love your voice. You'll never come to know the voice until you have the intimate relationship and the love for the Lord.
Yes.
In order to really know his voice.
Yes.
And there is a price to be paid. You've got to lay down your life.
Yes.
To
yes.
That voice. You've got to respond to the Holy Spirit inside, and he's always talking. He's always encouraging us. He's always leading us and guiding us.
Yes.
If we could just become sensitive to the voice of the Lord. Father, that's my prayer this morning. We know that you live and abide forever inside of us.
Yes, Lord.
And we know that you'll be speaking with us this morning. Father, help us to lay hold of the substance and the reality of what we're discussing here this morning. Otherwise, we just walk out with a head full of knowledge, Lord.
Yes.
Come a bunch of religious practitioners. This gives us more information that we can argue with the other brothers and denominations. And that isn't what you call us to do.
Yes.
You call us to love one another as you love us.
Yes.
So, Father, we thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
How you've orchestrated and arranged this thing to become one with us. Now we just pray, Lord, that we're becoming more and more one with you.
Thank
in Jesus' name
you.
We pray.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
We're so far behind you again.
She's
going to
only pack one
suitcase.
Go get some coffee. Go get a donut.
I want to start today with I just felt like I needed to repent. Jim mentioned two things that's right in there. Oscar's sermon, the voice of the Lord. That's pretty much what Jim was talking about. I just hope I don't cry because the Lord gave me something in praise and worship, and you know how you make these deals with the Lord. Well, if Oscar wants me to pray, I'll bring this out. But since, you know, he didn't ask me to pray, I just thought, you know, you wonder times, is it the Lord or is it something? But I knew it was the Lord this time. I knew it. It was like he brought to mind... brought to mind a song that I hadn't heard or sung in 20-some years, because it was at the church that I went to before I came here, and I've been here, you know, 20, 21, 22, however many years, and anyway, I didn't get up. And towards the end of the sermon, he was talking about the quickening of the Lord. And that's the song that he brought to me before You know, but, you know, we kind of think we have a flow in our worship and all that, and you don't want to break the flow. I'm here to tell you, break the flow. Okay? You don't have a problem with that, do you? I mean, if you have something to say that the Lord's put on your heart, huh?
It's the Lord. He won't have any.
I know he won't. That, but I just want everybody else to hear. I knew it, but I don't, you know. But it,
you know, I want people to be free in the Holy Spirit. And whatever God's doing, that's what I want.
And I think times we hold back, and that's the whole point of what I'm trying to say is don't hold back any longer. We need to break through that traditions of men and that nonsense of, you know, a flow. Well, this is the way it flows. Well, you know, then let's break it. Okay, let's let it flow other ways too, because God moves in many different ways. Okay, so, but just so I can get it off my heart and I can move on. Mm-hmm. It was a song that you've probably even heard of, and it's "If That Same Spirit That Raised Christ From the Dead Dwells In You, It Will Quicken Your Mortal Body."
Yes.
And that quickening is just bringing life, bringing healing, bringing whatever, you know, whatever you got that you need. But it even cares about our mortal body.
Right.
I mean, can you believe that? Something that's just going to go fall off or become ashes or whatever, He still cares about it. He doesn't just care about your soul. He cares about even your mortal body. And then you start talking about that, and I went, Lord, I missed it. I missed it big time. So I exhort you to, when the word of the Lord comes to you, share it. Share it. It would have been a confirmation to our pastor. He confirmed what the Lord told him to say. He confirmed that with me, and I was like going, man, if I would have said that, God would have been glorified, because it was just, things don't just happen.
Right.
He has a divine plan, and you know, I missed it, so what? I just have to move on, and I just felt a need, especially after Jim, you even used the word quickening in your prayer, the quickening word of God.
Right.
So anyway, just, We need to break away from thinking that there's a tradition here that wings that has to be followed. No. Lord gives you a word. If I'm up preaching and you, Lord gives you a word right in the middle of my sermon, you get up and say what the Lord said. It's not going to bother me at all. So I'm sure you're the same way, and everybody else is too. So anyway, I wanted to say that, because also it goes right into Revelation 1:15, where it talks about the voice of many waters. And that's exactly what we're talking about.
That's the song that I getting all the way down here this morning.
Go for it.
That's the sound of many waters.
Really?
The sun all the way out of the car. Like the sunshine after the rain.
Yeah,
we used to sing that song a lot. Yeah, too. And then the rain is falling. I thought of President Wilson, because he loved those two songs.
Yeah.
And myself. And then the other one was "The Spirit Is Moving All Over the World." The mighty revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Deep down in my heart, the Spirit is moving all over the church, the Spirit. A mighty revelation,
yes,
of the glory of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And what's that revelation?
As the waters cut him.
Yeah.
As the waters come.
Yeah,
but he gave me those three all the way down here this morning.
See, I don't know about you, but when he confirms his word, I get excited.
Right.
Because I know that wasn't, you know, Oscar. I know that wasn't me. I know that wasn't Brenda. I know, it's God.
And we need to know that, because
exactly.
Sometimes, because we think, oh my goodness, it's just you talking out of your head again.
Right.
And you're thinking,
you know,
oh my goodness.
The accuser of the brethren is up here,
yes,
and he will say, don't get up and make a big deal about it. This is something little. You don't need to bring it out in church. And all. Oh, I love how Randy, when you Lord gives you something, you speak it forth, don't you?
Most of the time.
I've heard you speak forth from sitting out in there multiple times. And that's the way we should all be. We should be, you know, again, just test the spirit, know that it's of God. And if it's of God, it's going to edify, it's going to bring, you know, peace, it's going to bring all the things that, you know God is all about. And if it does, it's, you can pretty much be sure it's God. Okay.
I think that sometimes in the process of that, we tend to hear this thing in our head sometimes that we're over-spiritualizing something.
You're right.
And, you know, there's times where it's real clear, and there's other times where it's not.
Yeah.
Okay? And the process of testing, you know, sometimes when you get through your sermon, it's tested, but I didn't say it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because it takes time sometimes.
It does.
For us to realize, you know. Because you're not fully aware of the voice through the Holy Spirit.
I agree. When you, what I try to do, when I get a word from the Lord, I ask the Lord, is it for just me? Is it for the body? And is it for now? And if it's for me and the body and now, that's when you got to speak forth.
Have any of you all heard me? I've talked about the gifts of the Spirit a few times. I don't talk about it as much as I really probably should. But, you know, if the Lord gives you a prophetic word or a word for someone while things are going on, that is the time now.
Thank you.
I hate when preachers and ministers say, I didn't think this was the right time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hold it till later. Well, later it might not have the impact or might not have the power or the anointing on it that it has when God speaks to you. I'm never going to tell someone that they can't share something that God's given them, you know. And you know, the way even the prophetic word works is that when someone gives a prophetic word, everyone should judge that word, you know, by the Spirit. And if it's not of God, you're going to know it's not of God. The anointing and everything's not going to be there.
Right.
You know, but, I mean, in other words, you know, I don't worry about things getting out of control. And I've shared this story before. I had Sunday school class. When I was teaching Sunday school all the time, this brother came in, and Carl says to me, that's Brother So-and-so. He's very disruptive and be careful and all this kind of stuff. And I told him, I said, Carl, I don't worry about that. I said, this class is not my class. Mm-hmm. This class is the Holy Spirit's class.
Right.
And I said, God's perfectly capable of keeping everything in the right order and everything like that. You know, I was teaching on some pretty deep truths, and we might have even been in the book of Revelation. I don't know. But I was teaching on some pretty deep things. And you know, he never peeped out one time. Carl got up to share a message, and he was up carrying on and everything else, and they had to actually escorted him out of there because he got so bad, because Carl wasn't quoting just from the King James Bible. You know, he was one of those guys that it's King James Bible and nothing else. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And but see, like the scripture says, the thing I feared the most came upon me.
Yes.
And you know, I don't worry about that stuff. I don't worry about things getting out of control out there, because the Holy Spirit is the controller.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect God to keep things in the right perspective and everything. And even if you say something and it doesn't seem to fit, you'll know it didn't fit afterwards. God will let you know that you stepped out of line a little bit. And the only thing about that is that it isn't like, and you know, a lot of people worry about Satan. It isn't like the devil's sitting on your shoulder saying, now you need to get up and say something good about the Lord, or say something good about something here. That isn't going to happen. But your reasoning mind will start reasoning it away. See, your natural mind will reason the things of God away. And I told you, and I'm just going to share this just to help anybody that's sitting there. You know, before God started moving me into prophetic word a lot, when I would prophesy to people, the Lord would give me he would run a whole prophecy through my head sometimes, and I would sit there and I'd think, go ahead, Lord, go ahead. Well, you know, then I finally found a scripture that said, and I was a real young Christian, spirit of the prophet, subject to the prophet. Unless you speak it out, it ain't going to get spoken out.
No.
God's not going to force you to speak something.
No.
And you know, and one time I even said to the Lord, I said, Lord, if this is really you, and I'm praying, you know, quietly to myself, I'm saying, Lord, if this is really you, give it to someone else. And you know what he did? He gave it to somebody else, word for word. And you know what I did? I went out there dragging my tail between my legs for about a week, like what happened basically to you, you know, in the sense that you, you know, you feel bad because you know you missed God in that situation. And you'll never learn to have the boldness to speak out what the Lord gives to you unless you try the Spirit and see if it's of God.
Right.
You'll find out. If it ain't, you'll find it out real quick.
You will.
When do you get that? When do you get that feeling? Feeling.
Freddy,
oh, I guess feeling.
Well,
yeah. Or when you just say something out.
Uh-huh.
Why doesn't God just give it to you quietly? Like, why don't he give it to me? A prophetic, whatever that word is.
Prophetically, yeah.
Word.
Well, the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy, basically. And when you come in here and you sit in here and you listen to Rich teaching, that's a prophetic word to you because he's teaching by the Holy Spirit. And you have to say, Lord, give me ears to hear what's of your spirit. And if there's something that's not of his spirit, that's not for you right then it's going to go right over your head. You're not going to get it. You're going to miss it. But that doesn't mean that God won't bring it back to you some other time. But as far as the gifts of the Spirit, you'll never function in them if you're not, you have to step out on the water a little bit, you know, like Peter did out of the boat, and trust that what's being spoken to you on the inner man is the Lord. And if you don't do that, you'll never find out one way or the other. Because he's not going to force you into doing anything, you know.
Praise the Lord. Okay, Revelation 1:15 says, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice... Oh, sorry.
Is it stuffy a little bit there?
Just a little bit.
You mind if I turn the fan on?
No, okay. It's fine. We'll just have to talk loud.
All right. And his feet.
Down low.
Yeah.
I'll turn it on.
And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. The Mirror Study Bible says his feet looked like brilliant bronze fashioned in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many cascading waterfalls. And he has in parentheses, triumphant in the fiery furnace of the altar / cross. So, you know, you say, okay, brass means judgment, right? Well, then why did Jesus have his feet as fine brass? I studied into that just a little bit. And fine brass, of course, I believe means righteous judgment. But it also, it's like fine brass in the natural can be as precious, if not more, than gold. And it says, it's implied means of whiteness or brilliancy. Well, whenever you see the whiteness, it's purity, and that's God. So just because it was brass doesn't mean the same definition of judgment that you hear out there with the Christian church where, you know.
Well, I kind of like it when you're saying, you know, even like when we're talking about the fiery furnace, it's so bright, it's not so... It's beautiful, ugly and hell and fire.
In Ezekiel, when he had his vision,
mm-hmm.
In verse 7 it says, and their feet were straight like feet, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of the foot of a, and sparkling like the color of burnished brass.
There you go.
Burnished brass is brass that's been polished to where there's no irregularities in it. And
looks
it's
like
reflective. Gold. It's reflective, and if you shine light on it and the light hits it right, it will do the same thing as if you shine light through a crystal. It will break down all the colors of light. So the judgment that God brings is not to condemn, it's to bring understanding, and it's to bring a revelation of all that He is.
Comfort those who mourn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Ezekiel what?
That's Ezekiel 1, verse 7. Sometime I'll do it. I'll teach back through Ezekiel. It'll blow your socks off the way things that God has.
You talk down
it's a tremendous revelation. It goes along a lot with the book of Revelation.
Oh, it does. It does. Okay. And then that word waters, it's the figuratively used of many people. Yeah, but this is what I liked about it and thought it was super interesting, was the root word of that word waters in the Greek is rain. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Holy Spirit, you know, you think of the water of the word and whatever. And,
right.
But if you scoot on up to Revelation 19:6, it says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings." We've been talking about that all morning, how the Lord will speak to us, and then we speak forth, and we speak forth saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." When you're speaking forth that, you know that the Almighty is the controller. The sovereign.
Putting a turd in too.
Yeah, so, you know, when you get to that point where you trust Him in all things, you're going to say, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." And where does He reign?
Right in you.
In us. Amen. Amen. Then in James 5:7 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." And, we, you know, the Christian church has this big thing about the coming of the Lord. Well, He's already come. You know, He may come again. I mean, He's second coming, whatever you want to call it. Huh?
He's coming every day.
He's coming every day. I mean, you know. And so.
Brighter and brighter.
Yeah. And that's what they're saying. Be patient. You know, some of us sit there and say, "Well, Lord, take me into the deeper waters. Take me into, you know, I know you're hungry as could be. You know,
that's
you
right.
want more and more and more and more." And we all should be that way. And I think everyone in this group is. But it says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman." And we heard about the vine. Jesus spoke about the vine. The Father was the husbandman. And we're the branches. Jesus is the vine. And so, behold, the husbandman, the one that's, you know, what's that word? Pruning, yes. Mm-hmm. The one that's doing the pruning is the husbandman, okay? And the husbandman waiteth. God's waiting. The Father's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, okay? What's the precious fruit of the earth? Us. Mm-hmm.
Christ's life.
Yeah.
Life.
The transformation of our minds into the mind of Christ. And have long patience for it. Thank God He's got patience for us. Whew. For me especially. Thank God, Lord, that You have patience with me. Until He receive the early and the latter rain. There's that word rain. Okay, remember we said that the root word of the word waters, a voice of many waters, is the word rain. So let's, you know, I've always thought it was interesting. You got the early rain, you got the latter rain. Well, you know, if you go into the natural realm of what rain does, you got the early would be what? Spring, mm-hmm. right? So the rain in the spring does its part, And then the latter rain would be late fall, early winter even. And then that does its part. You need both. You need both in the natural to grow a crop or flowers or whatever you're growing. It says, so rejoice, O sons of Zion. Okay, who's the sons of Zion? Us. And be glad in the Lord your God, for he has given you early rain for your vindication. I thought that was interesting. And he has poured down for you the rain, the early and the latter rain as before. That's Joel 2, verse 23. Then you go on down to Zechariah, and it says, ask rain from the Lord. At the time of the spring rain, the Lord who makes the storm clouds, gets, you ever had any storms in your life? Nah. Okay. So the storm clouds, you sit there and you say, oh, that's bad. No, that's good. Storm clouds are good because it brings rain. And we want the rain. He just said, pray for rain, right? Ask the Lord for the rain at the time of the spring rain. The Lord who makes the storm, whew, that'll preach. Might get people walking out on you, but that'll preach. the Lord who makes the storm clouds, and he will give them showers of rain. Well, what comes from that? Vegetation in the field to each man. Wow. You know, we need those storms, folks. And if our perspective is in a higher realm, we see those storms as learning experience, as growth. You know, the rain's going to bring growth, right? It's going to bring vegetation. It's going to make things grow. Well, that's same with you. This is all a metaphor of what we go through each day in our life. You know, because the storms do come, but the storms bring rain, and there's growth that comes from the rain, and we grow from all those storms, because the Bible clearly says that all of this stuff works together for our good. Well, if all of it works together for our good, that means the storms too, right? All things work together for our good. Hosea 6, we've heard this scripture a million times, but it's just, again, another confirmation. The people are not faithful is the title of this in the expanded Bible. Hosea 6, 6 says, come, let us go back to the Lord. Hopefully we never have to go back. Hopefully we just stay there. But anyway, to those that need this, he has hurt us, torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. So, who's in control here? Who's in charge? He has wounded us, but he will bandage, bind up our wounds. And after 2 days, he will put new life in, revive and restore us. And on the third day, he will raise us up. I like how it says, in a short time. So that we may live in his presence. That's where we are right now. Okay, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the hurting and the wounding is over. I'm not saying you won't feel that from time to time, but I'm just saying that right now we're in the third day, and he's raised us up so that we may live in his presence here today.
I mean, can I say something, Rich?
Yeah.
That word there, live in his sight, it says in the King James. And if you go into the study of the actual word, it means to live in his face. And if you live in his face, what's he say? When you see me as I am, you'll be what?
Like,
just like me.
So that his presence is actually his face. So
yeah.
When you're in his face.
You told the story of the little boy in this in this ants or whatever, and he could see himself in her eyes.
Right, yeah. And, well, he called Israel the apple of his eye, and that word for apple back there is little man of the eye. And the little man of the eye is when you get up in somebody's face and you look into their eye, the little man of the eye that you see is yourself. And we have to see ourselves in him. When we begin to see ourselves in him, that's when we begin to really be changed into that same
image. Why is Jerusalem the apple of his eye?
Well, it was Israel was the apple of his eye. Yeah.
Okay, Israel. Why was it?
Well, you have to realize Israel is really a metaphor, not for natural Israel, but Israel is a metaphor for all Christian people, really, when you get down to it. It's a metaphor for the actual name Israel means he shall rule as God. If he rules as God in your life, then guess what? You're part of spiritual Israel, whether you're natural Israel.
Why shouldn't we all be Jewish? I mean, if that's what Jesus was. He was a Jew, wasn't he?
Well, he was born in the Jewish, in a Jewish family or faith, but he came to show what that really was all about. Was, you know, and the word, and if you come up into the New Testament, Scripture tells you he's not a Jew, which is one outwardly, and circumcision is of the flesh, but he's a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart. A true Jew, if you want to go, if you know, because you start getting into the Jewish thing. So when God came into your heart and circumcised your heart, guess what you are?
What?
You're a Jew. The real Jew.
A perfect Jew.
You're the perfect Jew. That's right. The Jewish people have to have their heart circumcised to be a true Jew themselves, see? And they circumcised their flesh, because that was what God told Abraham to do. But we can get off.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too far away from what he's teaching there, because we can really go a long way with that.
So it says, let's try to press on to learn about and know the Lord. Okay, that's what we're doing here, isn't it?
Yeah.
He will come to us as surely as the dawn comes. Well, does the dawn come every day?
Yeah.
So does he. 24/7. He will come to us like rain, or as sure as the winter rains come, and like the spring latter rain that the waters that waters the ground, the earth. You know, I may be speaking out of line, and if anybody doesn't see this, or maybe you question me, but I see this latter rain as the sons of God. As people, you know, because as people, we're that vegetation that it was talking about, and we are to go and rain on other people. You know, I mean, you can call it a lot of things. There's a lot of things you can call it. It's blessings, you know, the latter rain and the former rain. I mean, these are blessings that have been poured out. I mean, you can look at it a lot of different ways, but I think we have a responsibility, you know, that it's like grace. You know, we've been given grace. We need to give grace out, you know. And what, you know, God's rained on us because we've seen our growth. I mean, have you seen your growth over the years? You know, so God has rained on you. You can't have growth without the rain, you know. So I just believe that we are to take that word that the Lord's given us and share it. And, you know, three times yesterday, and of course we know what the number three is, three different people. Julie made a comment yesterday. She said, you know, basically, since her mom passed, whatever, she said she'll get texts now and then, but she said, I never get any phone calls. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes after that, someone called and she ministered to them for a half an hour on the phone. Mm-hmm. Then she went to get her hair done, and some lady that was friends of the lady that does her hair was coming up next, and this lady, she even said both these next two things, even said, I don't know why I'm telling you this. But she started pouring her heart, talking about how she knew that years ago she should have left this her husband because he was abusive to her and the kids and whatever, and now she's finally got him out. And this lady that does Julie's hair, you know, had been friends with her since elementary school, and she didn't even know all this stuff. And she met Julie for the very first time. And then she goes to get money out of the bank for the trip. And this lady proceeds to tell her that as of the 24th of September, all the, what's that store, Myers, all the Myers stores are eliminating the U.S. Bank, and so she loses her job.
What?
And she's just filed papers for divorce for her husband. She has 3 kids. This is all one day, folks. I mean, she was, like, mentally exhausted when she came home. And this is all one day. And she says, I've never done this before, but here's my personal cell phone and my email address. I want to talk to you. And all Julie did was listen. She did. I mean, she wasn't putting out all this wisdom of advice and all this stuff. She was just someone that the Lord used as a sounding board to list. The three things happened in one day after she said, basically, I don't ever get a phone call.
You said that they would come to you at the brightness of your eyes. He didn't necessarily say you'll go to them.
Right.
They'll come to you at the brightness of your eyes. They'll sense a light inside of you.
She did nothing to open up the doors of conversation with
their
either one
senses,
of those three people.
Their spirit senses something in your spirit that I need.
God set all that in order.
Yeah.
God set all that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. So,
I think that's really relates back to what you were asking about. You said specifically when we were talking in the beginning, how will I know? How will I know when the Holy Spirit puts this prophetic thing? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? This relates back to that. So there's times where you're not going to know. Okay? There's no rhyme or reason to it, is
there? That's right.
But in this situation,
It was
as evident as it can possibly be. You know, there's evidence for it. So I think that your question is very important, okay? It's important for us to experience this process in order to grasp when we're being used. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
To what you were asking about earlier, about the prophetic?
Yeah.
Okay. That kind of ties it together a little bit for you?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think what he's saying is you have a knower in here, and you'll know that you know when it's the Lord.
Your reasoning mind will try to reason it the way
it will.
It will try to say, well, no, this might not be the Lord. You might be putting yourself in an awkward position, or you know, the natural mind will, I'm saying.
Absolutely.
But that's where, when you feel like that the Lord wants you to speak up, you won't ever know unless you speak up and try the spirits and see whether it be or not. You know.
In my case last week, I knew it was the Lord, but I didn't speak it forth.
And I think that's what's so funny about Oscar. He's always saying that, you know. Don't believe what I'm saying. You find out, the Holy Spirit will give it to you. Just, you know, and if you don't understand, put it in the back burner, or whoever the person is, you know. Always just put it in the back of the cabinet, because eventually it will come out for you to realize the maturity that he gives you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not always going to be there, go, I don't know what you people are talking about. Well, he's not going to give it to us like that. It's a process of reading his word and being filled with him.
Well, my son always tells me, Mom, because I ask him, how come I don't get anything? He says, Mom, if you shut your mouth once in a while, maybe you would hear him. And so.
Well, don't you think, you've been sitting in here for months now. All of this word, God's word, never returns void. It's sinking down inside of you. It'll come back up when it's supposed to come back up.
Yeah.
And it will astound you when it does, you know. But you're hearing the word of the Lord. And I will tell you this, I hope I'm not jumping back too far, but you was talking about the latter rain and the former rain. The latter rain is a spring rain. What happens in the spring? That's when everything begins to come forth, and it springs up and it comes out.
New life.
Yeah, you know what the former rain means? I'm going to read you the definition of it. Did you have it up there?
No.
Okay, hold on just a second. I'm going to give you the definition of it so I get this thing that worked right here. Flip around here. Okay, here's what the form of rain means. It means to shoot as an archer. It means teacher. What do you think we're doing in here right now? You think we're in the form of rain?
Yes.
I'd say we are. Teacher. It means rain. It means to inform, to instruct, to show, to shoot forth, and it means watered. You were talking about watered gardens. You know, and there's been a prophecy years and years ago, and it used to come forth in this church all the time, many years ago, about this church would be a watered garden. A watered garden. And what you're experiencing right now, you're experiencing the former rain.
Yeah.
That, you know, years ago, everybody was a preacher. Preachers get you excited. They get you to want to go on. Teachers teach you how to go on. And that's what God's bringing forth in this day, is the teaching ministry. That's why a lot of times you hear people getting into the Word and explaining it in depths that it never was ever explained before.
Yeah.
You know. And we're in the former rain part of this, but he's going to give us the latter and the former.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to begin to happen is that as this thing takes root, there's going to be a lot of new lives spring up. But the thing is that he's going to do a quick work in some people.
Mm-hmm.
And when he does a quick work, and I'm going to tell you, this is prophetic if you listen to it. He's going to do a quick work in some people. Some people are going to come into this thing very, very quickly.
Yeah.
They're not going to have to go through all the old religious junk that a lot of Christians went through in the past and have to throw out half of what they learned because it was the traditions of the elders and not the Word of God.
Right.
You know. But this form, we're into the form of rain right now. I got that for you. And that's why you hear more teaching than you do preaching anymore, really.
Yeah.
And that's what Rich is doing, you know, all the time. He's breaking that word down. He's teaching. And God has that anointing on him. And I believe I have a prophetic teaching ministry too. And that's what God's called me for. I mean, Jim, and there's a lot of us that do, you know. But, and even with Julie, you know, what was she doing? She was teaching them.
she was
moving in the former rain, you know. And you know.
It's amazing how sometimes when you do nothing, God works the most.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, seriously, she wasn't out. She would admit to it. You know, she wasn't. She was had an agenda to get stuff done. She was not thinking about witnessing. You know? But God will use it anyway.
That's where you have to lay your agenda aside.
Exactly.
Sometimes
she stopped everything.
And
I heard it this way. The fivefold ministry, this is the apostle. You need a thumb to grab a hold of stuff, right? So you grab the apostle grabs hold of the kingdom of God, and then this one is pointing the way to Jesus. That's the preacher, like Oscar was talking about. The middle one is the evangelist, far-reaching. The ring finger is the pastor, who's, you know, married to the church and whatever, and then this one's the teacher because you can get in their ear.
Yeah, I just have a verse for you. It's out of Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus was walking with his disciples, and they were very young at the time. And he said, "Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened." So keep asking.
I wanted to say the more time that we spend, like he's talking about ask, knock, seek, and God's, you know, in the Word, praying and taking time with him,
mm-hmm.
and the more you're intimate, your relationship is, you come to know his voice.
Yes, you do.
Just like the more time we spend with one another, we can hear somebody come down the hall, and they're talking, and you know who they are.
Yes,
because
right.
You know their voice, but it's come from time you spent with that person, and I do the same thing as with God. As you read the Word, and take time to get before him, and this is coming from experience, but I still do it, and we all have to do it. that we come to know his voice, and we know when he's speaking to us. And sometimes our natural mind will question why, but we come to really know his voice.
It will always question.
Yes.
It will always question. Mm-hmm. Casting down vain imaginations.
It doesn't all the time. Sometimes it doesn't. Yeah,
well,
but
until
sometimes.
It's renewed, the mind is the entity with God, the Bible says.
Yes. I heard a minister say one time he went to Israel, and he was over in that area, and they still have shepherds in some of these places. And he said he was observing these shepherds come up to water their sheep. And he said they all walked up and started watering their sheep, and all the sheep were like kind of mingled in there. And he said that, you know, we herd sheep over here. We don't shepherd them. We herd them. They're shepherds over there. And he said that what they do is after they've watered them, they start walking away calling their sheep by name. And their sheep pull out from the other sheep and start following them.
Yeah.
Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and another they won't follow. And there's a part of you that knows the voice of the Lord when you hear it on the inside. And when you hear it, just say, yes, Lord, and follow. Because as many as follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, these are the sons of God. That's what it really amounts out to. And you don't have to worry about being led astray as long as you say, Lord, give me ears to hear what your spirit would speak to me, and you follow that spirit of God inside of you. You won't get led astray. Don't follow a particular man or a particular organization. And I've told people many times, don't get your eyes on me, because if you do, God will let me fail you miserably. Keep your eyes on him, you know. And, you know, he might use me, he might use Rich. Don't get your eyes on none of the people. Keep your eyes focused on him. And if you keep them focused on him, you'll be fine. And he'll speak to you. You'll hear him too. Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Randy, you want to pray?
Sure. Father God, we just come before you.
Yes.
We thank you for the rain.
Yes.
We thank you for that water, Father.
Yes.
It's that sound that it's remarkable. We thank you for the passion. That thing inside of us that drives us to want to seek your face. So, Father, we're going to continue to knock. Continue to ask. We're going to continue to seek, Father.
Yes.
And we thank you for this time that we've had together here. And, Father, just guide us all.
Yes.
Take us to that next place of teaching, understanding, that prophetic moment where we know that it'll be you and not our thoughts and not our mind.
Yes.
Give us that wisdom, Father.
Yes.
And we ask these things in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.